Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report. That's right, we're finally back. I am Tyler Hayward, Ryan McCumber's here as well. The Red Cedar Report, of course, is a part of iSports Web. Be sure to check out iSportsWeb.com for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like the Red Cedar Report on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Red Cedar Report. Like I said just a second ago, Ryan McCumber is here with me as he is taking time from packing for Dallas to help us preview Michigan State's game against Alabama. Ryan, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Ready to get out there. Got to keep the luck going, I guess, since every road or neutral game I've been to, they've won this year. So.
That's right. It's all you. It's not Connor Cook or Shelly Kaufman or anybody. It's all Ryan McCumber, so remember
it's all
that.
Me, of course.
We say that now, but let's just say Alabama beats Michigan State. Will you be saying it?
No, but I'll be done. I'll be blaming it on some other thing I didn't do.
Yeah, it's Mike Sterner's fault.
So, but you always blame it on
before. Yeah. Well, it's easier that way. Before we get to football, let's talk a little bit about the basketball team. Basketball team, best start in school history. MSU opens up the conference slate tomorrow as they travel to Carver-Hawkeye Arena against Iowa. So far, Michigan State, they've only played one game without Denzel Valentine in a half and an overtime period. They look pretty good. Oakland, they tend to play Michigan State tough anyways. And, I mean, let's not forget, Drew Valentine sitting there on the bench. And he was under Izzo for a year or two. So they did kind of have a little bit of an edge as far as insights to the offense and the defense and how that works for Michigan State. Obviously, it doesn't help when the leading candidate for the Wooden Award is missing in action. So talk about your thoughts about that Oakland game really quick, because there's been a lot of downers. It took overtime to beat a mid-major. I thought Michigan State looked good. I mean, Oakland is a decent basketball school.
Oh, I agree with you. Kay Felder, first of all, we got to say, first and foremost, that guy is legit, the point guard for Oakland. That guy is he is easily the most underrated player in the country. He just absolutely went off in the first half. I mean, he slowed down in the second, but his first half was just incredible. Without Denzel Valentine, other than the first half, which was a huge struggle, and Oakland just shot the lights out, I thought that MSU played all right, especially when you're missing Valentine. Bryn Forbes had a huge game. Obviously, he went off for 32. But I thought they played okay. I think Oakland is probably going to be a tournament team this year. They'll win their conference, and I think they're going to get in. I mean, that's a team that won at Washington by 14 points, went out there, and they just destroyed Washington, honestly. It's a pretty good team. I think that they beat a decent amount of Big Ten teams this year. I really do believe that.
Yeah, and I mean, you talked about Felder and him going off. A lot of flack has been thrown in Aaron's way in regards to his defense. But it's not like he played shoddy defense. I mean, he had a hand up in Felder's face the entire game. It's just a situation where you're 5'11", that's going to happen.
Right. You can't really put the boy. I mean, Felder just went off. He has games like that. That's just the way that he is. It's hard. Can't really stop the guy. I mean, the most you can hope for is to slow the guy down. I think he struggled a bit in the first half, but I thought he played pretty well in the second half and overtime. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you got to expect points from Felder. I mean, he's going to find a way to get him.
Yeah. And let's talk about the outlook, too, really quick, because we don't have much time here. About the basketball team without Valentine, Iowa, they're a tough opponent. This machine, though, it's going to go as Bryn Forbes goes, I think. But Aaron Harris, I mean, he stepped up against Oakland. He still has those lapses that just make you scratch your head. But it looks like he's finally starting to come along a little bit. I think he still has a lot of work to do, but I mean, come along at least.
And, you know, I said Aaron Harris would be probably the second best player on the team this year, and I've been off so far by far. But Aaron Harris, he's going back to the role that he's used to at West Virginia, which is being one of the primary scorers. I think that's going to help him come out a lot in the stretch when Valentine's out. Harris has had difficulty defending this year, and that's part of the reason that he hasn't gotten the minutes I thought he would. But I really think that he's going to wind up he'll have a big stretch here with Valentine out, and we'll see if he can continue that when Valentine comes back and he has to share the ball a little bit more.
Right. I mean, obviously right now Forbes is option one, and Harris is probably option two. But, I mean, he's one of those players here. He's like one of those home run hitters that you see in baseball. They'll sit there and they'll hit home run after home run after home run. But then you realize that it's because he's swinging at everything, and then you see a couple strikeouts. You're like, what was he doing swinging at that one that ended up in the dugout?
Oh, absolutely. He was the same way at West Virginia. I mean, I've watched a lot of West Virginia games when Aaron Harris was there, because they'd have the Big 12 games on piano a lot, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna check that out. And he goes off usually, or he just doesn't play well. It's really no in between for the guy. I think that Izzo has had his defense improved from what he played at West Virginia, but I mean, you're gonna have I think usually you're gonna either have a huge game from Harris or he's gonna be off. You're absolutely right on that analogy.
Let's get to football. That took a little more time than we were kind of looking at as far as our show setup goes. But, look, Thursday, Michigan State, they look to end the season how they look to end this year like they started this year. And that's with a win in the Cotton Bowl. What was your thoughts when MSU got that draw, when you found out MSU was going to play Alabama?
In all honesty, I thought it was a pretty good draw. I would have rather faced Alabama than Clemson. Alabama's best win this year is Florida. And, you know, Florida's not all that great. But I think that they caught the way Alabama plays. I mean, I think that Ohio State has more explosiveness on offense, but I think that they somewhat remind me of what Ohio State does, considering they depend on the run game a lot. And I think if Michigan State can slow down, at least slow down Derrick Henry and make Jay Coker make plays, I think he's going to make a mistake or two, and I think Michigan State will find a way to win if they can do that. I thought it was great. I think if this is a better matchup than Clemson, I stay matching up with Oklahoma. This plays into Michigan State's strength. They're stopping the run.
Right. And I mean, you kind of talk about Clemson, and I thought it was a pick your poison deal. Look, I mean, Michigan State, they are able to stop the run, but Derrick Henry's still the Heisman winner. He's going to get his, and so now it's just a matter of if Michigan State can put a point against Alabama's defense. On the other hand, if you play Clemson, you're not going to be able to stop them, but at the same time, Clemson's not going to be able to stop Michigan State. And so
right.
It was really a pick-your-poison deal with the Spartans and who they got. How does this layoff affect both of these teams, though, when you look at Alabama and Michigan State? Because this is a really long layoff.
I mean, I think that it helps Michigan State more than anything, because he didn't look right in the Big Ten title game with his shoulder. And getting him to close to 100% is just huge. I think we're going to see a little bit of layoff, and you're going to see the effects of it in the first quarter, but after that, I think everything's going to be back to fine for both the teams.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at how Michigan State has done in, let's say, their last four bowl games, they've trailed by double digits in each of them. And it seems like they're just usually slow to get their start. And I mean, let's face it, against Alabama, that's something you cannot afford to have happen. You talked about Connor Cook, obviously. This is going to help him, that shot against Iowa. And after that, Michigan State kept him in, unlike how they played the Ohio State situation, just so there was the threat of the pass. And obviously that panned out pretty well on that 11-yard Burbridge completion, or 12-yard Burbridge completion on the final drive for one of his only, what, two passes, I think, or two completions on that final drive. So right now, the latest report, it's looking like he's saying he's 100%, but reports at ESPN yesterday saying he still had the wrap on his throwing arm and that he wasn't really putting zip on the ball in practice.
But, you know, the thing with that is I think that a lot of that is D'Antonio, he doesn't want to show that much. I mean, he's always been that way. So we honestly don't really know if Cook's 100% or not, but we'll see when the game starts. I think that he'll be better than he was for the Iowa game, but, I mean, I'm not sure what to exactly expect from him, you know? But I think that was more of a show than anything by D'Antonio. He doesn't want to give away anything. So we'll see.
Yeah, D'Antonio, we've talked about it all year, how he hides stuff. And, I mean, each week we come back after a game and we talk about it, and it's like, hey, look, we've never seen this before, or hey, look, this is kind of like we thought. He was just hiding some plays or hiding certain formations, different ways he wanted to attack. And so hopefully this is the same type of scenario, because if Connor Cook's not at 100%, I think Michigan State can back their backs this season.
Yeah.
You need Connor Cook at 100% against this defense, because this defense is going to be able to stop Michigan State's run.
Oh, absolutely. That's what they've done all year. Alabama's weak spot in their defense is their secondary. And Michigan State needs Connor Cook to be healthy to take advantage of that. I think you're going to see a lot of throws to Aaron Burbridge and post routes and such to Josiah Price. I think you're going to see a little bit of trickery too, because, you know, D'Antonio always pulls that out in these bowl games. I think I'm definitely going to see some jet sweeps to R.J. Shelton. Maybe see some Burbridge in the Wildcat like we saw in the Big Ten title game. I expect some wrinkles to this offense. It's not going to be what you normally see. That's what I think, at least.
All right, and you mentioned Alabama secondary being their weak spot. It's a pretty good weak spot if you're still top 20 in the nation in interceptions.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that is how you have to beat Alabama, is you have to go through their secondary.
A point to make, though, Tyler, is that as Alabama, I mean, the quarterbacks they played this year, maybe Dak Prescott, I mean, he's pretty good, but I don't think they played a quarterback as good as Connor Cook as long as he's 100%.
Oh, definitely not. And, I mean, even a prolific passer like Kyle Allen out of Texas A&M, he put up okay numbers, but he's a little more, we'll say, freewheeling than Connor Cook is, and he also had a few interceptions that were the type of throws that Connor Cook doesn't normally make. And
right.
So I'm with you there. This is going to be the best quarterback that Alabama's faced all year. It's going to be a lot better than Florida's offense, I can tell you that much. Hop in our DeLorean and travel back to 2011. Michigan State, they weren't ready for Alabama. Alabama had three losses that year. Spartans in Alabama. Every Michigan State fan got what they've been begging for from the second Saban sold his soul to go to LSU, and that was a shot at Saban. Look, Alabama top to bottom that year, you should go back and you look at that roster. That's a national championship-level team. that had three lapses. That's what that was.
Oh, absolutely.
They weren't ready for Alabama. How does Mark Antonio back from that? I mean, I get it was almost 5 years ago. But how does he bounce back and be like, okay, it's not going to be like last time, Saban?
I think that there's huge differences between the teams now. I think that Alabama team then, they don't have injuries in the 2010 season. That team is a national championship team. These teams are so different from what they were. None of the players that were on those rosters are at the schools or at either are on any of these teams now. Michigan State has recruited to the point where they have depth where they can fill in at injuries, and they didn't have that then. This team is built different. I think D'Antonio is going to be ready. I think this is probably the game that he wanted. I think he wanted Alabama. He wanted another crack at him. Michigan State has the players up front on the lines to compete with Alabama, in my opinion. They've got at least three or four guys, future pros right now on their defensive line, and McDowell, Shalit Calhoun, Lawrence Thomas, and Craig Evans. Who knows who else will emerge? I really think we should compete with them up front.
I want to talk about this really quick. When will people – you talk about the defensive line, somebody who you left off that list. When will people start giving Joel Heath the credit that he deserves?
Absolutely. He's been great. I don't think he's going to be an NFL-type player. He deserves a lot of credit this year, absolutely. He has absolutely exceeded my expectations. I think that defensive line is going to – this is going to be probably the best defensive line that Alabama has faced, possibly. I mean, I know Florida's is really good. Ole Miss had a pretty good defensive line, but Michigan State's, they mauled Ohio State this year. They dominated them up front. And, I mean, Alabama is similar in athletes to Ohio State. We saw that last year. And I think that Michigan State can compete. If they can beat Ohio State, the backup quarterback, they can absolutely compete with Alabama. There's no question in my mind.
Right, but to be fair to Alabama, I don't exactly think Derrick Henry's going to see the ball just 12 times.
Oh, absolutely. They're going to get. I don't think that they're going to shut him down the way that they shut down Elliott. I don't see that happening again.
Yeah. So what do they have to do in regards to stopping Derrick Henry? Well, okay, we talked about that. They can't stop Derrick Henry. What do they need to do to slow down?
I think that you've got to stack the box. You've got to force them. I mean, even if they stack the box, I mean, that Henry's still going to get a share of yards. You've got to force Jake Coker to make plays downfield. I mean, that's key to this game. The Michigan State secondary has been at least above average since the Maryland game. I think that Michigan State, as long as you force Jake Coker to make some plays downfield, that guy's going to make some mistakes. He's at best a game manager. Let's be honest. He's probably the worst quarterback in this playoff. No disrespect to him. He's an all right quarterback, but if you force him to make plays downfield, he'll make a mistake here or there. And I think that's Michigan State has to force turnovers. That's how they're going to win this game. That's how they've won all year.
Oh yeah, I mean that makes perfect sense. You look at the way Alabama's offense. So, obviously, there's differences in the way that it's run. You see a little more pistol. You see a lot of that play out of the pistol formation where Henry likes to run between the guard and the tackle. But otherwise, their offense is kind of like Iowa's. I mean, you keep bringing up the comparison to Ohio State, but it's like Iowa's. It's dependent on the run game. As long as you have a quarterback who can manage the situation, and frankly, I'll take Bethard over Coker every day of the week.
Oh, yeah, me too. Absolutely.
So I think it's going to be like an Iowa situation. Obviously, we didn't really get to see Iowa's running game at full strength when Jordan Kanzeri went down with that injury. And, well, I think it was the second quarter situation. I think they're going to play it the same type of way. Will they give up a big play? Probably. Alabama does have athletic receivers that know how to make plays, and occasionally the secondary does have lapses since Darian Hicks came back. But I think you're going to see a lot of – well, it's going to be seven men in the box, at least.
Yeah.
One thing we haven't seen a lot of this year, and part of that may be because Narduzzi's gone and Harlan Barnett's making the calls, we haven't seen a lot of safeties up front, though. Nicholson will come from his spot to make the play, but we don't see them load the box and force teams out of the run like they did last week.
And then I think we might see that
a little bit this week.
And I think that part of them not stacking the box up front with safeties anymore, though, I don't think that's an Narduzzi thing. I think that that's a personnel problem. No disrespect to the secondary. They don't have a Darquez Denard or Trey Waynes back there anymore. They need the help. Behind with the safeties. But I think that we might see a little bit more of that, especially with this running
game.
But
Colquhoun and Hicks have played great this year. I'd say they're better than last year's group.
I agree. I 100% agree with that. But they don't have a Trey Waynes back there anymore who can just take over one side of the field. That's the point.
But at the same time, I'm gonna make this case, and I know it's going to be an unpopular opinion. I think Colquhoun's playing better than Trey Waynes did last year.
I don't know about that.
If you take out the non-conference games and you look at how Colquhoun has played since the conference season started, I would say that he played better than Trey Waynes. I'm not saying he's a better cornerback.
Okay.
I think he's played better.
I did, but what Waynes did, they wouldn't throw his way. Ohio State just picked on Hicks that whole game last year. People didn't throw Trey Waynes' way because they knew that he had that whole entire side of the field shut down. And they still threw. I mean, don't get me wrong. I have been absolutely impressed with what Arjun has done, and since conference play started, he's been the best corner on the field. There's no question about it. I just don't think that he shut down one side of the field the way Trey Waynes did.
All right. There's been a little talking going on, and for the first time, we just got to move on. I mean, that's why there wasn't really much of a transition there. We just got to move on. There's been some talking, and for once, the first time in a while, it's not been Michigan State's opponent. It's been Michigan State doing the talking. John Reske, Riley Bola, they're ready for Derrick Henry. Is this possible bulletin board material that they're feeding Alabama?
No. No, it's not trash talk. They congratulated, they tweeted, and I think Riley Bola tweeted at Derrick Henry congratulating him on the Heisman, just said they were excited to play him. I mean, they made some comments, too. That's not trash talk. That's showing respect for your opponent. And I think that this has been absolutely overblown. Reske and Bola aren't the type of guys to run their mouths.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. Key talking points, if you look at a lot of the media, in regard that those two are running their mouths saying they're going to hit Derrick Henry harder than he's been hit all year. Well, to be fair, that's not hard to do because Derrick Henry hasn't really been hit. I mean, that's the same as saying, hey, we're going to try to tackle him. Because if Derrick Henry goes down, that's probably the hardest he's been hit all year because he's been a load to try to bring down so far. I'm right there with you. We did talk a little bit about the secondary here. How you said, Michigan State, they don't have those, while the other safety kind of creeps up, they're getting one of those guys back. Talk about that.
R.J. Williamson coming back is just huge. I don't think that he's going to start, though. I really think that the way that Cox and Nicholson have been playing, I don't see them really – I mean, I see Williamson absolutely playing in the nickel spot and obviously spelling Cox or Nicholson whenever they need a break. But I don't think he's going to start. Mm-hmm. But I think that he brings – a whole entire dynamic back to this defense. Because when RJ went out with an injury, he was playing like a borderline All-American, if we're being completely honest.
He was a turnover machine.
Absolutely. He was making plays left and right. And, once he went down, I was like, oh, man, I don't know if this team can withstand that type of injury, but they've been fine. They've just moved Cox back to the safety spot where he's more comfortable, and he's been fine. I mean, no disrespect to R.J. Williamson at all. He is an absolutely great player. I just don't think that the coaching staff is going to want to mess with what they've had going with Cox and Nicholson.
Right. At what point come an issue of, hey, look, you're probably our best defensive back, but at the same time, you don't want to mess with a good thing?
I think if
Nicholson maybe has a momentary lapse or Cox has a momentary lapse, then I think you'll see Williamson. He's going to play a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
But right now the depth chart has Nicholson and Cox ahead of him.
Which is what I thought would happen. I mean, those guys have been lights out since. I mean, sure, Nicholson has his share fair of lapses every once in a while, but I mean, they've just been really – they've played really well since the Maryland game. I mean, this defense has been a whole entire different type of defense since then, and a lot of that has to do with the safety play. But, I mean, I think Williamson will understand that, I mean, hey, you know, we got to go with what's been working for us lately. I mean, he'll be a nickel guy. And like you said, once you see a momentary lapse from Nicholson or Cox, you'll see Williamson come in for sure.
I think it's look, if I had to pick any Spartan to maybe force a turnover, or, like recover a fumble, get an interception, whatever it may be, I mean, my money's on Williamson. I mean, there is one thing an injury can't take away, and that's the nose for the ball. And that's what Williamson had. He was forcing turnovers left and right. Before he went down, you said it. You say he played like a borderline All-American. I thought he was an All-American. This played absolutely fantastic. We got about a minute and a half left, Ryan. Let's get to your prediction.
Okay, so I think Michigan State's going to be able to pull this out as long as Connor Cook's 100%. And I'm assuming he is 100%. Therefore, I think Michigan State can slow down Derrick Henry enough and make Jay Coker make plays downfield. I think Michigan State will be able to throw the ball a decent amount on Alabama's secondary, even though Alabama's probably going to shut down their run. I have Michigan State winning 24-21.
Sorry, what was that final?
24-21, Michigan State.
Yeah. You'll get my prediction later in the week when we do our Alabama, when we do our, what we standard do for our preview shows the day of the game. Ryan, thanks for coming on, man. Safe travels. Have fun.
Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate you having me on. Go green.
Right, go white. That does it for us today. Be sure to keep checking out iSportsWeb.com for all the coverage and post-game reaction for the second semifinal between the Crimson Tide and the Spartans. For Ryan McCumber, I'm Tyler Hayward, and this was the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report.